This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 148, recorded on December 19th, 2013. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios with an improved camera. Tonight, and here in Bellevue, Nebraska, we post the show with world-class show notes and some linked show notes now. We're always linking those back to the YouTube video. So if you want to get to a spot in the video, if you're looking for something particular, and I got a couple emails this week from guys that were looking for specific topics, and so it's a nice way to go in, and you can just go right to the topic. You can find those all out at theaverageguy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, and a couple of you have done this as well, send me an email. That's Jim at jim@theaverageguy.tv, and you can find me on Twitter at jcollison. If you're watching us on Google Plus or on YouTube, you can join us right now for live chat during the show. It's just right below the main video window. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/live, and of course, all the ways you want to subscribe to this podcast, any of those ways, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Zoom, no, Zoom's not around anymore, Xbox, Music, any of those things are available out at theaverageguy.tv. All right, well, we are back. Christian is back in Buffalo, and Christian, how good is it to be back, at the home station?
It's pretty good. It's a lot more relaxing. There's a lot more snow, so it's good.
Good to have you back. You've been busy since you left school. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in a little bit, about some of the things you've got planned for your Christmas break. You kind of ran into your break. I mean, you've been busy, right? So we've got some things we'll talk about here shortly. So, and then all the way to the right, and from JPEG to RAW, and Mike, you haven't been on the podcast in a while. Welcome to Home Tech. Good to have you.
Yeah, good to be back. We just did show number, actually 101 last 2 nights ago. Had our 100th show a couple weeks ago, and now we're done for the year. We take off 2 weeks for Christmas and New Year, so it's glad to be here.
Nice. And so you're at 100 over there at jpegdoraw.com, right?
Yep. We just finished 101 two nights ago.
And all photography all the time, and it's getting kind of interesting, and that's all I'm going to leave it at. So if you're a photographer at all, Mike's got a really good group going, both Facebook and now a Google Plus group that is going, and a lot of photographers. And I think it's probably one of the nicer photography podcasts
that is
out there. So you can check that out, jpegdoraw.com. I catch you guys Tuesday nights. 7:30 Central, is that when
you're... Yes, because 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Yep.
Yeah, so that's when I... it's usually Tuesday nights. I'm mixing the audio from Financial Tech, by the way. We still continue to do Financial Tech. We're going to change that up a little bit in the new year. So as we get past December 31st and we get in the new year, Financial Tech will do some new things. I don't know if I'll get it done in January or February. We're going to try some new things out with that. If you haven't listened to that, just head out to theaverageguy.tv. And click on the Financial Tech podcast, and we do 15 minutes, super simple, 15 minutes of a market commentary. You might want to check it out. Mike's show is live every Tuesday night over there at JPEG to RAW.
Yeah, and Financial Tech is a great format. You know, 15 minutes, that is a, you know, if you don't want to listen to an hour, 2 hour show, I mean, that is 15 minutes, and you get right to the point, and you hit the high points. And
yeah, Andrew does a bang-up job. Andrew Hunt, not the other Andrew in our network, Andrew Hunt does a bang-up job of getting that in, and we try and make it easy for you. So here at The Average Guy, we're all about making life easy for you. Speaking of easy, it's the end of the year, and I put together a list. We talked about it briefly last night on Home Server Show, and it was just too good of a list to not give it some more attention. Of course, Mike, you and I spend a lot of time talking about these personal productivity and PC productivity and what you do with your digital stuff and music and documents and those kinds of things. I know Christian is big on that as well. He's always thinking about where he's going to put his music or what they're going to do with their Subsonic stuff or how that's going to be laid out. And he's thinking. So I thought tonight would be nice because next week is Christmas. We're not doing a show next week at all. So you guys have Christian, you have the week off. And so next week's Christmas, and the week after that, we will have Gordon and Gordon Schmidt, Kevin Schoonover on to talk about those smoke detectors, those Nest smoke detectors, which, by the way, they're getting sued for patent infringement on those, but we'll see how that goes. But right before Christmas, always a good opportunity to think about, you got maybe you got a Christmas break coming up, and it's always a good time to look at your digital assets, some of those kinds of things that you got in the house, your PCs, your gadgets, and not just that, but your data. So last night I sat down, I kind of blogged out 12 things, what is the end of year, what is your end of the year home gadget geeks checklist, some things that you can start thinking about, 12 things that you might have to do right after Christmas dinner. So let's just dive right into that, and you guys jump in if you've got some comments to it. Number one, I think you got to check and make sure some on your PCs at home, right? Some of these are going to be PC-centric. Make sure those drives are still spinning, right? You might, if you're like us in our community, if you're the average guy, you may not have extra PCs in the house running backup stuff, but most of our listeners have some kind of, you know, Mike, you got that Norco 420, right? Running in a completely different room.
Yep.
Are you sure all those drives are spinning?
I actually am. I can pull up. It's Unraid that's running there, and I can pull up Unraid, and I do often to make sure none of them have a red mark on them. But you're right. If I don't look at it, I don't look at it every day, and I don't access every drive every day. And the fact that it is, in essence, a RAID, one of the drives could be out, and it still performed just fine. So I've had that happen before where one of my RAID enclosures, I had lost a drive, and it's in another room I don't go to all the time. And I'm still getting data off of it. Everything's still working just fine. I don't even know what's happened because I didn't check it for a while. So that is a good thing to go in and check those, either locally or like I can do with Unraid right now where I'm checking to see they're all still got green dots.
Yeah, so it's kind of good.
Everything's good.
Christian, how do you know if you've got a drive? I mean, you got a lot of drives there. How do you guys know when something's gone out?
Watch for the strange ticking noise. No.
that works too.
Normally, it's gotten more difficult because, like, back in the old days, home server version 1 used to start blinking lights when things weren't going well. So normally you can just, if you're really good about catching it, if you know your network really well and you know how your hardware's supposed to form, it's normally the best way to detect it. For example, we saw a server that was just starting to perform slow and we're like, something isn't right. And we noticed, well, these hard drive disks are suddenly reading and a lot slower than they should be. They're probably on the way out. So rather than waiting for them to die, let's just replace them. And sure enough, that's what it was. So it's kind of a more of a spidey sense operation over here than it is anything else.
Did you check them all with any kind of like smart software where you went in there to see if they were showing that they were bad yet?
Yeah, no, the smart stuff all shows it fine, and the RAID controllers will beep like nuts if it sees something, but the HD Tune Pro benchmarks are normally a good indication of is your drive performing at its, quote, advertised rates.
Now, what is that again? Tell me what that tool is.
It basically lets you do a benchmark of all the read-write characteristics of your drive and basically gives you a complete performance benchmark of what statistics you're getting. So I often use it to see how my desktop SSD performs when I can get it over.
What's the name of it?
HD Tune Pro.
HD Tune Pro. Is that a premium or can you get that for free?
I think there's a... there's two versions. One, you can get a free trial, and then there's a pro. There used to be a light version too, I think. But
oh, okay. So just hdtune.com.
hdtune.com. Yeah.
hdtune.com gets you a look at that, and so you can run that. I think ATTO would that also tell you if you knew what to expect.
Oh yeah, Atto's a good one too. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. So two tools there to kind of. Maybe, well, you know, again, if you've got them, you know, like Mike in your case, they might be in another room. They may be behind a closed door. They could be in another area. You know, me too. You know, all my server stuff sits right behind me. I would get some lights, not on the HP box, but I would on the Drobo or on the Synology, sitting right behind my big melon there. Both one of those would send me a signal and say, hey, you've got a drive that's bad. So, number one, might be a good idea to just make sure all your drives are spinning, and then if you need new drives, we've got usually the end of the year is a good time to buy hard drives, and we got tons of deals going on. Schoonover is really good about posting hard drive deals out in our site. And remember, if you go to Amazon, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon before you go out there.
You may want to buy, you know, if you find a good deal like Kevin's posts out in your group all the time, you may want to buy one as preemptively. Because if you have a lot of drives like Christian has, like I have, I think I have close to 60 drives in the house now. I lose at least one or two a year at a minimum. You know, I know I'm going to lose drives.
That's a good point.
So it's good to have. And if you got a RAID set up, you really want to get another drive in there pretty fast so you don't have to, you know, wait on the shipping of another one coming in and what could happen in the meantime. So it's good to have a spare or two lying around.
Yeah, yeah, and they're so cheap right now for the most, a 2 or a 3 terabyte drive. $79, you know, in most cases, so it will not break the bank for you. And so if you're a big hard drive guy and you got a lot of storage there, you might want to think about that. Good time to check, maybe label even a few things on your drives. It's if you're checking them and you don't have them labeled, and especially if you have a RAID, you may not know which drive is which, and the RAID will tell you which one goes bad, and then you're like, oh, which one is that, you know, type deal. So you might want to label them while you're in there as well. So, number two, do an inventory of all your storage locations. Now, this kind of goes back to sometimes, again, my stuff is all consolidated. Mike, you've got stuff kind of all over the place. But some guys have taken drives, home servers, what it, Synology boxes, Drobos, whatever, to remote sites, right? They're using them that way. Do you kind of know where everything's at from a remote standpoint? Mike? Do you kind of have a feeling where where everything's at?
I do. You know, part of that, and it kind of goes into one of your other points here, is I was going a little overboard with the protection of my photos, and I probably had it backed up 4 or 5 times. And just I needed to cut some of that down. I knew where it all was, but I had to cut some of that down because I don't have a server somewhere else. I just have my local copy, the server that's in another part of the house, and then my cloud copy now. So I know where all those are. That's not an issue for me.
Okay. And Christian, what about you? Do you guys feel like you got, I mean, it seems like most of your stuff's in a centralized location, right?
For which type of data?
So like, no, I'm just talking about physical hardware. You don't, you don't have it spread out, right? You don't have something out off-site, so to speak. Most of it's all in one place.
Right, yeah. We built pretty much a large server rack in the basement that has about, oh gosh, too many servers. Too many.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys have any documentation around what you have there, or is it just all kind of what's in
the normal? We're actually working on that this week. We're renaming all of the systems on our network because we have way too many now to keep track of, and we're going to label them all. So I think my dad and I have been going back and forth. I think we've settled on Starship names for each one. So the domain controller is going to be Enterprise, and then we'll have Defiant, Columbia. It's going to be real.
Nice.
So.
Awesome. So you're going to stay with the Star Trek motif then on those?
Perhaps, unless he wins out with the naval air cruiser names.
All right. That's always an option. Mike?
Well, going back to what you said, so it's not a problem for me, but you know, one of the things that we preach over at JPEG Draw for our photographers is to back up. And some people don't have a lot of internet or connection, a very good internet connection, or they have a cap or something like that. So you want that local original, you want that local backup, and then you want it off-site. So for some of those people, the only way to do off-site is to physically take something off-site. And that's where it would come into play with what you're saying there in number two, is those people need to make sure, you know, those things that you've put off-site, do you know where they all are? Do you know what condition they're in?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Have you checked them?
Yeah.
Have you checked them from that standpoint? So, yeah. So you know, it's sometimes it's good to do an inventory, even if it's not off-site. You know, you might even want to do a whole house inventory of all the gadgets you have, just so you kind of have a record. I know, with you know, I'm missing two of my 5 children. You know, they've moved out at this point, and even with just 3, we have a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. You know, we just got a lot of gadgets, and so. A lot of PCs, a lot of that kind of stuff. So it just might be a good time to take an inventory, kind of walk around the house, and I'll tell you why here in a few minutes as we talk about backup. But number three, are your clients getting backed up? So that's a good reason to just make your way around. A lot of households, especially in our community, in our backup community here at homeservershow.com and theaverageguy.tv, a lot of you guys have, you know, a home server of sort that's running either a V1 or a Windows Home Server 2011. You got clients backing up. Have they backed up, right? Log into your dashboard, take a peek, look and make sure they have. It might have even been a while since you've even checked your dashboard on your Windows Home Server, so it might be a good opportunity to take a peek at that. And then when you're getting around to each one of the PCs, it might be a good time to do a virus, you know, an antivirus check. Do you have one working? Is it updated? Is it getting updates? Is it running? And has it found something, right? I don't know about you guys, but my kids just click through all that crap, right? Mm-hmm. They just click, 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 whatever. They don't care. Whatever gets them into Steam is all they're interested in anyways. And so, you know, I went to a house the other day, a buddy of mine, and he had, man, they'd installed every toolbar known to man.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, I know. It just drives me crazy.
I hate that.
You know, the kids install, it's like anytime you get an updated Java, of course, it's going to ask the ask toolbar, hey, you want the, no, I don't want that toolbar in there, you know, kind of thing. But the kids don't care. It's checked off by default, and they start. So just might be time to uninstall some stuff, some junkware. It's a good time to probably check your antivirus. I like to, my advice would be if you get there and it's all kind of mucked up and antivirus has been removed or it, whatever, stopped working, get a clean version of the free malwarebytes.org or go to, yeah, I think malwarebytes.com actually gets you there as well. Download that update and then just run that once. It's kind of an industrial grade antivirus that works real well. I do recommend the paid version, which you can get as cheap as $15. So it's not too terribly expensive to get that done. As well, available on Amazon if you're going to, you know, do some pretty good deals out there as well. But a good time to check. Mike, along those lines, as we're thinking about client PCs, anything else you recommend?
No, I have one of my son's PCs right now is not backing up. So I've got to go up there, uninstall the connector and reinstall it and find out why it's not backing up and then do a manual backup. And I do go check my kids' computers just for that same reason. Every once in a while, I go up there and they've installed, you know, they install all these different programs and stuff. And like you said, they always sneak in this toolbar or something. So I go and uninstall all those toolbars and anything else I'm not aware of. And if I happen to get something they need, well, they'll just have to install it again. I moved off of Microsoft Security Essentials last year, and I've been on Bitdefender for a while, and it's worked really well for us. So, and it updates automatically like that. But I do like to check it, because sometimes you go and check one of your, I used to, I don't have this problem with Bitdefender, but I've had this problem with antivirus in the past. You go and check one of the kids' computers, for whatever reason, it's not even up. Like something happened, mm-hmm. Maybe when he was playing a game, whatever happened, it crashed, and the antivirus just isn't even running. And so that's a good thing to go and check those things and see what's going on. Because if you have a great antivirus, but it's not even running, then it's not a great antivirus. It's doing you no good.
Right. Yeah. If you could have paid for it and shut off.
Yeah.
You know. Christian, anything you guys do special on your clients out there? You guys probably run a pretty tight ship there at the Johnson House, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of antivirus, we just keep using the same old Avira Security Essentials combination. To be honest, I don't even know. The whole Security Essentials thing has gotten a little bit weird because now in Windows 8 it's called Defender again. So it's like, yeah, make up your mind, Microsoft. But
it's back to that name, yeah.
Yeah, but
well, it's a good time to check. You know, just one of these kind of things. Make sure there's no unwanted software. Make sure there's no, you know, the antivirus is working. Make sure it's getting some kind of backup. And if you don't have a home server. And actually, I just purchased, just tonight before the show, I just upgraded my account, a crash plan. I get the $60 plan. I run that on my home server, so I just need one copy to back up all my files. I don't back up my individual PCs to the cloud. Those go to the home server, then the home server goes to the cloud. Any important files that I really need go on a file store, on a network store, not on my local PC, so they come off. So just need one copy of Crash Plan, $60 gets me in there if you haven't done that yet. If you're backing up to the cloud, you don't have a home server, you can back up to the cloud as well. Question is, you need to back up somewhere. And so we talk a lot about backups, but you might want to, you know, kind of check your backup strategy and make sure. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second. Number four, are your cloud accounts still working? So you might have enabled some SkyDrive or some a Box or Dropbox or, you know, some copy. Those are all things we covered over at theaverageguy.tv/cloud storage back in that cloud storage guide. Many of us kind of raced to those early in the year and got things backing up to them. Are they still working? Are you sure they're still around? You know, have they maybe they've gone out of business? Now, the big ones that I just mentioned, I think they're all safe, but the other day somebody was telling me, like, SugarSync just dropped their free option mm-hmm. on there, and it's paid only. So if you're doing free, you might not have that option anymore. And if you were counting on that for backup, it might be gone. So you might want to check it out. I know recently I've kind of gotten into Box. They're an enterprise. They're really going after the enterprise play on cloud storage and backup. into both copy. I've got a lot. And then when I went to the MVP conference out at Redmond, I got like 240 gig of SkyDrive space that week. Yeah, so I got a lot of space out there as well. And Christian, I know you kind of came up, you used, is it Cloud On or On Cloud?
Own Cloud.
Oh, that's right. OWNCLOUD, right? Own Cloud. Where basically your data was coming back from Maryland back to Buffalo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that worked out pretty well for you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it syncs all my stuff for school for the most part. So, and again, I own and control the cloud, so to speak. So,
yeah. Yeah, sure enough. Mike, what's kind of your de facto cloud at this point?
So I have two things. I have CrashPlan, like you, and I'm a huge fan of CrashPlan. So I have 4.5 terabyte of stuff backed up onto CrashPlan right now. And, you know, I even have the CrashPlan app on my phone and have gotten some stuff on my phone from that. And then on the other thing, and I use this every day because all my work files I actually put on this on Dropbox. And I know I save it there, and you know, then it's on my laptop, it's on my desktop, it's everywhere. So I also use a lot of Dropbox, and I've paid for the extra storage. So I think at this point I have almost 130 gig of storage on Dropbox.
Yeah. Okay. So Dropbox is kind of the place that you're, for the most part, where you're landing.
Yeah. So that's kind of stuff. Yeah. CrashPlan for backing up, Dropbox for that, you know, sharing thing. Yeah.
Couple comments from chat. One, Kevin Schoonover reminds us of a tool we've talked about before, and that's that BellArc, BellArc, BellArc Client Advisor. You can install that. It does a complete inventory of your PC. Not a bad thing to run every once in a while, just to kind of, you get license codes and things you've put in that you've long forgotten about. And if you're ever going to re-image a PC, you know, for whatever reason, good idea to run that first. It's free. You can go out to BellArc.com and download it. Worked with those guys years ago. They were hoping to get bought by another company by now, but I guess it just never happened. But nice job of PC inventory. So, Kevin, thanks for that suggestion. And then other Jim says, well, we're saying sync is not backup. And he's right in a sense that, you know, there's a couple different kinds of backup, right? If you're backing up from a shadow copy or from a trying to prevent your error standpoint inside the files, then yeah, sync, if it's automatically copied once you write it, and then it writes over the mistake that you made, it's not backup, right, from that standpoint. Although it is a form of backup, because if your computer is synced to the cloud and your PC gets smashed or burned in a fire or something like that, your at least your copy, your last known copy is out there.
Yeah, Dropbox, I don't consider, that's not backup, although my website backs up to there, so in that case it is. But, you know, by putting it on Dropbox, in my case, it's on three different computers, my laptop, my work computer, and my desktop. But my true backup offsite is for CrashPlan. And the other thing I like about Dropbox is they have versioning. So I have used that quite a bit, too, where I've, for whatever reason, saved an error on the file, and then I was able to go back to a previous version on that. And it had a good number of versions on that one file. So that was very helpful.
Yeah, and that is backup, by the way. So if you're syncing, but it's keeping a version, guess what? The 9 versions, say you have 10, and it's 5 or 10 in most cases, right? You get 5 or 10 versions depending upon the cloud provider. But guess what? The last, if it's 10, the last 9 versions, those are a backup.
So right? I actually do 10. One more thing, too. With my Dropbox at work, I have a what is that called? Sync Toy, running every night, or actually every night at 5 o'clock. It takes everything I have in Dropbox, copies it onto my network drive, which we have all network drive backed up at work. So
nice.
I do have another copy somewhere else in case of a disaster, if something happened.
The zombie apocalypse will not catch your data off guard.
It will not.
That's for sure. So good. Good to hear that as well.
And number 5 is going to be an interesting one, because that's a good question, yes.
Can you actually, so number 5, can you actually restore your backup, right? I mean, can you, if you need to, and in a case of the home server, you know, we all take advantage of that because it's bare metal backup, right? If that PC takes a crap on you and you need to, put a new hard drive in it, and the question is, can you restore it to the exact condition it was before that hard drive took a crap? And then there's the other question of, can you download those files from the cloud or from your backup, or if it's an individual file, can you actually pull it out of the archive? Have you tested that? Now, Let me say this never became more evident than this week. Christian and I, and we're going to talk more about this here towards the end of the show, but Christian and I have been doing a lot of stuff with the web hosting and our web servers and theaverageguy.tv and BIOS mods and some other stuff. And so I told Christian I want to move theaverageguy.me, which is my personal blog, I want to move that off of his hosted provider, move it onto Azure. I've been using Azure over the last, if you haven't tried that out, windowsazure.com, A-Z-U-R-E, to get that Windows Azure. And so I backed up my WordPress instance, and I backed up the database and the files, Christian. I got that done. Real nice backup tool that's on there. Downloaded that to my desktop, so I've got it in a zip file, unzipped it, put it on my desktop. Got the new instance over at Azure, opened up an FTP, imported it in, got it all set. But the question is, will it really work? Now, yeah, with WordPress, that's that, and this is different than your files, but with WordPress, you can't just take one instance and move it over to another and just fire it back up, because there's different database connections, there's different URL locations embedded in the files that are in WordPress. And so the question was, could I really restore, could I alone, by myself, without the help of Christian Johnson, restore a WordPress site on a completely different server? And the answer is almost. I almost got there. We're pretty close. In fact, if you go to theaverageguy.me right now, maybe I wiped it out. Hold on, let me look here. I'm not sure if I got that working.
You do not have permission to view this directory.
So I wiped it out. Yeah, I wiped it out. I think what I was going to do is try the, there were some things I was going to do before I copied the backup that would repoint the right, you know, stuff that needed to be done. And so I wiped the thing out in preparation for it. But can you restore, so check, can you actually restore those files? Can you get those files back? Do you know how to do that if there was a catastrophe? Might be a good idea to log into your backup stuff and give it a try.
Yeah. I haven't done a bare metal in a long time. I have had to go get individual files or directories or something like that, but I haven't had to do a bare metal. I have done them before, but it has been a while.
Yeah. Just test it, right? I mean, that's a good test. Can you actually do it? We know that I can't actually do a WordPress back up to another server. Although I learned a lot. Christian, you'd be proud of me. I actually got a MySQL admin tool connected to my MySQL database. I got in there.
That's impressive.
Moved some things around. Hey, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon I'll be walking. So it was give it a test and see if you can. And sometime here in the next couple weeks, maybe January, I'm going to talk about a whole show about Azure, because I it's kind of cool. And that before I talk about it, I really want to understand it, and I think there's some good average guy stuff there. So
that's sort of like what you can do over at Amazon, where you can spin up a VM on their cloud, or what is it, S3 or whatever it is.
Yeah, you can spin up a web server. You can, and there's about 19 different packages that you can install on that web server. One WordPress being one of them. You can create your own SQL database. You can get storage. You can do, you know, they have an apps account. I have all kinds of stuff out there. Not terribly cheap, but not ridiculously expensive either. And I think some accounts, and I'm still kind of testing it, there's some web accounts that are free. So if you're looking to spin up kind of a free WordPress instance and you don't want to go to WordPress.com, Azure might be the place to go, because you get 10 with your account. You get 10 free websites from them.
Now,
they're fairly small, not big, gigantic SQL, MySQL databases in the back end, but you get some good, so at least try it out. It's not a bad, your website's going to be the name of it .windowsazure.net or something like that. So you're not going to get your own, although you can redirect it. So there's some tricks you could do as well. We'll talk about that maybe in another show. Number 6, have you consolidated your pictures and videos? And Mike, this is why I brought you on tonight, right? Have you, and one of the examples that I had is I have both a Windows phone. So I have an Android phone. This is an S4. And where's my Windows phone? My Windows phone is around, oh, it's plugged in. So here's my Lumia 520. Guess what? These do a nice job of backing up your photos automatically now, which is dynamite. This goes to SkyDrive. This goes to Google+.
Yeah.
Right? So I now have photos in two places. And so at the end of the year, it might be a good opportunity to grab those files from one or the other. I would recommend SkyDrive just because I think it handles pictures better than Google+ does. Pull those down and move them into your single spot. Mike, with your photos and stuff, anything that you do specifically to store your files?
Well, you know, on my phone, like you just said, I have mine going to Google Plus because it's an Android phone, and I actually also have them going to Dropbox. So when I take them with the phone, they're also they're right on my computer right away. With you know, with, for and this is a problem that you know, anybody who is a photographer taking a lot of photos, like I'll go to a swim meet and shoot 1,500 images raw images in one swim meet. So you know, and people go do weddings and shoot thousands of images. So the storage just becomes overwhelming after a time, and having a good plan on how you're going to handle that, and really you got to think ahead. And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead in the list here. No,
just keep going if you do.
But you got to really think ahead, and don't what you don't want to do is go to put in your memory card. You know, you come home from a wedding, or you come home from a whatever shoot, you put in your memory card, and you don't even have enough storage space to put that on there. Because you can, a 32 gig card is what I'm shooting with, and I don't always fill this up when I go out, but I can fill up half of it. That's 16 gig, you know, of data right there. If you fill it up, that's 32 gig. You really need to be thinking in advance and have a plan on, all right, in 6 months, am I going to run out? You know, and have that thought of I want to be so much ahead of it. I like to be 6 months or more ahead of that. But then all those files, I have over 200,000 photos, and you need to have a good organized structure to that. And not and if you're backing them up, and you don't have a good organized structure to that, and you're backing them up, it's just chaos. At one point, I had them in four different places locally, and it was just it was crazy. It was eating up too much space. I wasn't sure they were all getting backed up to the cloud. So I had to come up with a plan on they're gonna go, and here's what was happening. So I had Windows Home Server backing up my PC, which included all the photos. Then I had SyncToy taking it and sending it to Unraid and sending it to my Windows Home Server files storage that was sending it up to CrashPlan. So that's where it got too many spots. So what I had to do was take it out of the image backup that Windows Home Server was doing and then consolidate some of that stuff. So if you're going to be taking a lot of photos like that, you really need to sit down and work out a plan on how I'm going to have my original, at least one local backup and one offsite backup, and do I have enough storage to handle all that?
Christian's a good point. Christian, you don't have pictures as much as you guys have subsonic, right? You have video, audio. You know, Gary's got a pretty good music collection going on there. How many different places do you put that, and how do you guys organize that?
We have a lot of music. There's one toaster, and a toaster is another word for a MediaSmart server, that is one of our friends who does a bunch of stuff with Subsonic, just has his own toaster on our network that he does stuff with, so a lot of it gets dumped there. We have another storage RAID array with the 16 2 terabyte, or the 8 2 terabyte hard disks in the RAID 50 that a lot of that gets stored and backed up to. And so we're actually changing around a lot of our structure, so it's kind of an in-progress thing. But I'll have real specifics by the end of January when we're all done.
All right, yeah. We're going to talk later in the show. Major infrastructure changes going on with Christian, so we're gonna talk. That'll be the nerd part of the show. This is the average guy part, and then the new Christian's Corner part will be at the end of the show. So hang tight for that. Good stuff. Okay, number seven, good time to get your documents in order. And I think this kind of plays to the same thing as your photos or your music or your video or whatever. I always create a 2013 folder. It's a good time to create the 2014 folder that's coming up because it's the end of the year and you're going to need to start putting stuff in there. I think, Mike, you know, you organize your files like I do with your documents. This is a good time to just make sure the year's wrapped up. You got taxes coming up in a couple weeks that you want to take care of. And by the way, you might want to think about some tax software. I didn't include this in here, but it's that time of the year to maybe get some. I get it sent right to me anymore, and they give me a pretty good deal, so I just buy, you know, I buy what they send me. But any other, I know you use some documentation. What's the software you use?
I use File Center. So I scan everything. If I don't get it electronically already, which sometimes I don't like that, but you know, the bills that come in, I scan them, and you probably can't see them behind me right now, but I have a stack I need to scan. I scan them. They go to a network drive that is going to be backed up by CrashPlan within minutes. And then I use a program called File Center, which is my organization. It doesn't do – there's some of these programs that put them in a database, and you can't actually get to the individual TIFF – not TIFF, PDF. File Center doesn't do that. It's in a regular structure. It's a PDF that you can get to. It does the OCR on it, a very, very good OCR on it, too. And it allows you to use naming conventions. Because the big thing with documents is you can scan them as fast as you want, but if you ever want to find them later, you got to have some way to index them. So the indexing is where you got to think about it. And File Center is the program I use. It's I think $199 or something like that. It's not super cheap, but the OCR in it is really good.
Yeah, and there's some new solutions coming out that I've seen recently. You can get them at Best Buy, and I forget, it's ScanIt or something like that. I forget. It's a company that's really aggressively going after this paper market, which...
Yeah, there's crazy, there's I can't remember the name of this thing either. There's somebody out in chat knows, but it's a white scanner that's up on a side, and you can put your stuff in there, and it comes with good software that comes with it. Yeah. I thought about getting that one. I can't remember the name of it, but that's another one to look at if somebody remembers the name of it.
And here's an alternative. Our phones have gotten really good, and you can lay that piece of paper down on the and take a picture of it, and in a lot of cases, the megapixel is high enough that this is almost as good as a scan now. Now, the OCR is not as good, but if you're just looking for a copy of it, you can do it that way. Or, like, I used to scan all my bills, but then I realized, you know, like my gas bill and my electrical bill, those are all kept by the utilities, and I can get them back anytime I need them. My cable bill would be the same way. My bank is the same way. I don't need... Once I verify them, I don't need to keep them if I know the bank's copy is right. I know that drives you nuts, Mike. You've got to have your copy. Right?
Yeah, I'm kind of a pack rat there where I scan everything. It's so not taking up that much space. It's there. Yeah. Neat. And somebody just put it out there, and it's, yeah, I think that's Neat Desk or something like that.
I think you're right.
That thing. Yeah. And somebody also, other Jim, said something about CDs and DVDs. I preach this to photographers all the time about backing up your photos. CDs and DVDs, I don't recommend them as a form of backup because I feel that, and I've personally experienced this, that they don't have a very long shelf life, not nearly as long as what you think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't recommend them at all. I just avoid them. They're not this media that's going to go away pretty quickly here. And so I just, you know, it won't take long before you open a box and you're like, ooh, how do I run this CD? Right?
You know,
I think that's going away pretty
exactly.
fast.
Exactly. Yeah. You can almost take this entire list you have and flip it on its side and say, are you doing any of this stuff? Because, you know, you were coming into the end of the year, which means the beginning of another year, and if you're not doing any document scanning or organization, and, you know, maybe now's a good time to start looking at it and using that Neat Desk or the thing that I use, which I have an Epson scanner and then have File Center for my document management.
Yeah, and that Neat stuff is not cheap. So if you're it's neat, but it's not cheap. And there's a subscription service as well that you can move that data into the cloud if you don't already have some kind of storage. So they're making a big play on it this Christmas. I've seen a ton of stuff out there. Christian, do you keep when we talk about your homework, right? The stuff you do in school, do you actually produce things that you keep from school that are like assignments and stuff, or is that stuff pretty disposable?
I keep everything that I type. That's part of what I use OwnCloud for. And then, like, written assignments, I used to be really, like, particular about scanning them into the computer until I realized I never went back and read them again. So I discontinued that practice and just started recycling and shredding.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that recycling idea here in a few minutes. But about one of those things with your documents, however you do it, you come up with, it's a good time of the year to come up with a plan, both to clean up last year and go forward with the next year. So number 8, and I know this is going to be a hard one. All right, this is hard. Number 8 is the data does some of your data just need to go away? Right? Do you need to delete some stuff? Because, and Mike, I know the answer is no. You keep everything.
No, I'm gonna agree with you on this one. Okay. Matter of fact, since I went through a phase of how can I say this and not get in trouble? I was making a local backup for Blockbuster in case they went out of business and needed those DVDs back.
Right. Yeah, you were Blockbuster, right?
I was trying to help them out. And, you know, I amassed a lot of stuff there, and I just don't access that much anymore. We watch a lot of our movies either through Amazon or Netflix or through the Xbox or something like that. And I have not rented a DVD in 2 or 3 years now. And all those things I had backed up, I didn't, you know, I don't watch them at all anymore. So I had a lot of things. I even put them into a folder. I had a folder called Bad Movies. movies I rented that I really did not like, and I backed them up anyway.
Why would you? Isn't that crazy? Because you could, right? You had all this storage.
I have 21 and a half terabyte of storage in my Unraid server, so hey. And now, you know, what happens is eventually, no matter how much storage you have, you can fill it up. And so I did go through, and I have gone through, and I've been a lot more critical of, really, do I really need this stuff? Am I ever going to use it again? And some things like those, we just talked about the documents I've backed up, well, I really need, you know, a utility bill from 1992, no. But I'm not going to delete that, because what is it taking up? You know, 100K? Right. But the big things, like the movies that I know I will never watch again, and I should go, if I had them still, I've already deleted them, I could name off some and you would be,
yeah,
it would be crazy why to have that. But yeah, no, that's a good thing, to go through and clean that stuff out.
Like, and really bad 80s movies.
Yeah,
really
bad 80s movies. You'd be surprised by how much space you can free up with that kind of junk.
Yeah. Christian, you a digital hoarder or not?
Yeah, I'm a digital hoarder.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
But well, then again, you can't. That's big data, you know.
Yeah,
gotta hoard everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just might be time to get rid of some of it. You don't need to keep everything. You know, the average guy. I know that kills you.
No, Vinyl Freak brings up a good point. He says old software. Yeah, I've got every version of Lightroom there ever was. I got every version of all these programs. I probably have Word Perfect, 7 different versions of it.
Yeah,
those are things I need to clean out too.
This is where I have a problem. I'm going to admit, I'm Jim, and I have a problem. And like old software is that's my weakness. Like, because I'm always like, well, what if I have to go back and do my taxes again from 1992?
True.
And so, and not that's probably a bad example because we weren't doing tax software in 92. But you know, one of those kinds of things where you're like, oh, but maybe I'll have to do my tax. 99 would be a better example. That was probably one of the first years we started getting tax software.
You might have been like me when you first got TechNet, is you went and downloaded everything. So, oh, look at this, Windows NT.
And I'm Windows 95. I've got a copy of Windows 95.
Every version of DOS they had on there, yes. Every version of DOS, Windows 95.
You never know when you're going to want to reinstall that.
I never use Windows ME. Let me download that.
Yeah.
So I have all that stuff still. I have not deleted it, just like you. I still have it. I haven't deleted it.
Software is my weakness. That's for sure. So, okay, number 9. This might be specific to us in this community, but is your Windows Home Server V1 getting a little long in the tooth? You know, have you... Is that, Christian, you guys have just picked up a couple of those recently, and so you're kind of betting on those lasting another couple years, I would imagine then, right?
Well, we're not betting on Home Server version 1 with the stock seller on D lasting a couple more years.
Right.
We're betting on a Q9550S quad core with 4 gigabytes of RAM and Server 2012 R2 lasting for quite some time down the road.
Right, right. But... You're still betting on that equipment lasting a while, the hardware that's there. But so you know, I'm not saying you have to move. Windows Home Server 2011 is out there. It's $40, $40 to $50. I checked on Amazon just last night. It's $50 at this point. Although you might be able to find it cheaper with some deals. And you can get Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials for as cheap as $399. So I mean. Maybe it's not so cheap. And that's not $3.99, by the way. That's $399. But it might be time to look a little bit at your server infrastructure, so to speak, if you're that kind of guy or gal and you're thinking, you know, maybe it's time for some upgrades, like you're checking your hard drives. Maybe some of the equipment, the PC stuff that you're running is a couple years old. Maybe you got an old Pentium D that is just running, you know, about as many watts as 4 light bulbs turned on all the time, you know, that... You could do better with some, and you know, you could get a cheaper, you could get an Atom processor that run twice as fast as some of those old processors and use, you know, an eighth of the power in the process. So might be a time to take a look at the inventory and think about upgrading your hardware. And this, it doesn't have to be Home Server, it can be anything. But again, end of the year might be a time to upgrade your hardware. Mike, do you have any hardware that you need to upgrade? You're always upgrading, so I wouldn't imagine you would say
no, right now I think my hardware is okay. And I haven't been running... Home Server version 1 for a while.
Yeah, I do. I have a the Studio PC is a first gen Core i3 540, And we're finding now, just with Hangouts and stuff, it's having a hard time keeping up. And we think it might be the video card as well. And so probably time for me to go on to something else here in the spring, start building out a new studio box, and make a jump upwards.
You said, do I have hardware I need to upgrade?
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Do I have hardware I want to upgrade? Yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, we always want to upgrade our software. Yeah. So our hardware. So something to think about going into that. Number 10, check your UPS battery, right? I mean, if you guys are, if hopefully every PC in the house is attached to UPS, right? Not only gives you surge protection, but it also, you know, those little, we get little brownouts here where it just goes down for a second.
Yeah.
And man, that just saves my bacon having I've got a APC UPS that can handle up to 600 watts, and I got maybe 340, 350 on it, and it works just great, you know?
I'd imagine everybody here already knows this, but I learned the hard way is that those cheap UPSs they sell at Micro Center and Fry's and all that kind of stuff doesn't work with the new power supplies. So I had both my Windows Home Server and my Server 2008 R2. Every once in a while, I'd come home and it'd be off. And both of them were on separate UPSs, and it took me a while to figure out what was going on, but I had replaced their power supplies over the last 6 months or whatever, and they were the modern power supply, and it wouldn't work with those UPSs. So whenever something happened, they were losing, the power supply was doing no good. I guess it provided surge protection, but it wasn't doing any good. So it took me, because it wasn't very frequent, it took me a while to figure out what was going on, and then I got UPSs that would work with them and move those UPSs, those old ones, to something else. And I even have my network equipment. So if the power went out right now and the UPSs were last long enough, I could continue to podcast through that going out because all the network is protected. Mm-hmm. But how do you recommend checking the battery in those UPSs?
Unplugging it
and seeing what happens?
Yep. Yeah, I'd real world test it. Now, some of them have software that come with them, and you can run that. This AAPC that I have actually has software installed on this box that's attached to it, and it'll run. It actually runs a check for me every Sunday. So every Sunday at like 7 a.m., it tests a battery and does a quick software check. But I absolutely would get in a situation where you unplug it and see how long that PC will run for. You know, if it doesn't run for more than 10 seconds, well, you'll probably need to replace the battery.
That's how I eventually found out that what was going on with those servers. I unplugged it and boom, they went right off.
Yeah. There's an easier way to do it too. If you don't want to mess around with your PC, plug the hair dryer into the UPS. That, you know, those hair dryers pull a serious amount of wattage. And turn the hair dryer on and unplug the UPS and see how long that hair dryer runs for. So that's probably a safer way to check your computer or to check that UPS rather than put your computer at risk to do it. So, Christian, you guys have quite a few UPS stuff running there to keep stuff?
Yeah, we bought a couple new units just because the servers were draining our old ones. So.
Yeah, they do that. And they only last so long, even fully charged. The battery only lasts so long, so 3 or 4 years maybe. If you're lucky, in most cases, if you bought a cheap UPS, it's probably 2 years. And you just need to check those batteries. The good news is a lot of the battery stores now, at least here in the U.S., a lot of the battery stores carry those batteries. So you can go in and, you know, for half the price of the UPS, you can upgrade your batteries. Typically, your mileage may vary. So, every situation is a little bit different, but check those out. There's also a little CMOS battery on your computer as well. And if you are running a really old computer, you might want to check that battery, because if it goes, it can cause some serious problem. That board could go, so you might want to think about, you know, and that's that little watch battery, right? That's that's on the board itself, and that kind of backs up the BIOS that's on
there. I'm sure everybody listening here knows that, but I bet you a lot of people out there, the average user, has no idea one of those batteries is on the motherboard.
Yeah, they are.
And a sign something's going wrong, for me at least, I don't know if this is true everywhere, sign that it's going wrong is your computer starts to have trouble keeping time.
Yeah. Yep. If you reboot it and the time's set back to whatever.
Yeah.
And it's getting better, but it's something to check, again, while you're doing it. If you got an older PC, this might be something worth checking. And then the other thing you might want to check, phones. This is where we get away from PCs, but phones and gadgets, iPods, those kinds of things, anything that has a battery, right? You might want to have a peek at it just to see if you got it last year. Test that thing. Charge it up full, run it, and see how far, put it on a speaker and see how long you get. Some of the devices you can't change the battery out and you're screwed. But in some of the devices you can't, so it's worth checking the batteries on as well. All right, number 11. This is going to be a hard one for some of us, too. Look through the boxes of old equipment that you have and just recycle some of that stuff. All right, you don't need a serial to USB, you know, adapter. Okay,
no,
you don't need it.
I'm generally good about having everything here right at my desk, and I should have read through this in detail because I know exactly where that thing is. I know exactly where my serial port to the USB adapter is.
You don't. You know, I even wrote that in the notes, Mike, and I was thinking about you when I wrote that in there.
I did go through and threw away a lot of stuff, but you know what's funny? So you go to throw away all this stuff, and some things are easy. You go, I am never going to need a PCMCI A or E, whatever that. What is that? PCMCIE 56 baud modem anymore. You know, I don't need that. So I did throw that in the trash. But I guess when I looked at the serial port, the USB adapter, whatever decision making I was doing there, I kept that. And I kept my 5 1/4 inch floppy drive that I have in the box, too.
Now, keeping one of those around as a memento, right, as a trophy to another era, you know, there's a lot of equipment that I wish I would have held on to for, you know, right above me. You can't see it in the camera now, but right above my head here is the original Xbox.
I got three of those.
And I'm keeping it for, it's a trophy, right? It's a symbol of another day. So, you know, but you don't need, you know, I've got these 3Com network cards from like 1999 that still work, right? But do you really need them? You know, it's one of those kinds of things. So let me encourage you, don't throw them away. Take them to a local recycling center. So wherever you're at, whether in the U.S. or outside of the U.S., find a place that will take electronic equipment. There's a lot of nasty chemicals in those things. So take them. If it's your PC or whatever, take it to Best Buy, take it whatever. Best Buy, by the way, here in the United States, still takes things for free to get them recycled. Christmas time, especially if you get a new PC at Christmas, maybe you're listening to this right around Christmas, and you get a new PC or a new laptop, take the old one in. Just rip the hard drive out and hammer it so it's done at that point, and then take that in and drop it off. Another good thing is check with your work, right? Check where you work. They might have a recycling program as well. And so you might want to, you know, you can take it in and they'll take it. Sometimes they charge you a little bit, but that's good. It's better than put it in the landfill.
I just toss one out in the creek out back.
You're killing me.
And I bought three of the Xbox, original Xboxes, whenever they were going for about $50 and hacked XBMC on all of them. But again, it's been years since I've used any of them. So I would like to keep one as for memories, but the other two need to go.
Well, and I had an old Timex Sinclair 1000. I've told this story 100 times on the podcast, but I had an old Timex Sinclair 1000 back in the 80s, like 83, I think, is when I picked it up. And I had that thing for the longest time, and I think I got rid of it. And I was looking through some boxes the other day to see if I could find it, and I couldn't. I was so sad. I was like, oh, man, did I really? And it was one of those moments where I was cleaning house, and I'm like, I'll never need this. You know, there's that weird window when you're throwing things out, and you all know when that is. It's maybe at the 10-year mark where you think, this is junk. I'll never need this. At the 20-year mark, you're like, oh. I wish I had that. Well, Christian's not even old enough at this point to do that yet, but it's that one of those things like, oh, I wish I had that, you know, it's a memory thing, right?
Or you're vinyl freaking, you're still using your external USB floppy drive.
Yeah, something like that. So, Christian, you guys, you got PC equipment for extra stuff. How do you handle some of the stuff that you need to get rid of?
The basement keeps growing until the point where we decide to eBay everything.
Yeah, and so are you able to get... That's another great tip, right? Maybe it's time to put a few things on Craigslist or on eBay. Trade it, get rid of it, right? I've got a 21-inch CRT out in the garage that I desperately just need to take. I keep... It was a great... It was the best monitor in its day. Mm-hmm. Not today. That day is not today. But, eBay...
We could do a whole show on old tech, you know, the 100 meg zip disk.
I know.
I love those things.
I know. You know, maybe when we switch over to Home Gadget Geeks in 2014, you know, we're going to break out Christian's Corner. So Christian's going to kind of get his own show in 2014. We're going to break that out a couple times a month. Maybe like once a quarter we'll do a retro show, and anybody that wants to come in with an old piece of hardware can come in and demo it right there on the show. That'd be kind of fun.
Okay.
Nice little bit there to do. Good idea, Mike. Thanks for that. Number 12, we'll wrap this up and get to Christian's new builds that are going on. Check with your friends and remind them to do the same. That's what we're doing for you. is to remind you to do these things. It's just a good neighborly thing to do to get them involved in that. So 12 things to do, kind of a playoff on the 12 days of Christmas, 12 things to do around the Christmas holiday to help clean up your digital footprint, and I hope you'll be responsible with some of those things as well. Great conversation going on in chat as well. Haloptus says he's actually watching this on a 1980 RT.
and other gen says, TI-994A, I had one of those things too, and I wish we wouldn't have thrown it away now. It's like you said, 20 years to whatever it is later, I wish I still had that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Onlopta says the ZX81 was the other version of the Timex Sinclair 1000.
Yeah.
Same kind of idea, yeah. Yeah, Christian, you weren't even born yet when we were on those things. Can you believe that?
That's pretty bad.
I would want to show my kids, and they would have zero interest in it. You know, I'd say, look at this, look what I used to have to use, and it would have zero interest in it. But
fire that yeah, because that Sinclair would come in on an RF adapter. Yeah. And you would put it up on the TV, and you would type on this membrane keyboard, which, by the way, is better than the Surface version 1 keyboard. I have to say, that's how bad the Surface version 1 keyboard is. But and you would type these, you would get magazines, right, and it would have these programs, 10, you know, and you would write something. And it had to be exact, otherwise you were screwed. If anything off, you are done.
You know, you skipped line number 1 at the top of this. Are you going to do that at the end, or...?
Line number 1, the very first one, local drive spinning?
No, the very first line.
Oh, yeah.
Skipping that to the end?
No. Well, I was going to mention it both in the beginning and the end. It doesn't make much sense now, so I'll cover it in the I'll cover it in the end, yeah. We have some new music that I was playing up front. But so if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, what happened to the regular opening music that you're using? Hang tight. We'll talk about it on the end. Shoot. I dove in too fast. Christian? Let's dig in a little bit with you on Christian's Corner here, and we are ramping up, like I mentioned before, we're ramping up for an extended Christian's Corner that we're going to break out, so give it its own RSS feed, and Christian's going to be able to just kind of totally geek out on us, so we've been practicing this in some Christian's Corners, but you and I had some troubles with the web, with your web hosting over the weekend, and it kind of stressed both of us out, to be honest. I think in the end, it was like, and this is not the first time. We've had some trouble with it before, and not all the time. So you in typical fashion, just took this thing under control and said, you know what, I'm going to do something different. So talk as much as you're comfortable about talking, but what you decide to do?
Sure. So, well, it's really, as a person who provides web hosting services to a lot of people, it's really frustrating when that one server with that one hosting company keeps doing that same thing you've opened about 10 tickets about, and they keep saying it's fixed, and then it does it again. And especially in an environment like Verpis, where their support system is essentially, in order to save costs, they don't have, you know, the typical 1-800 number you call to get, you know, Larry the technician who's going to fix your shared hosting, right? So the VPSs are kind of off in a data center somewhere, and there's probably about 5 guys that run the place at the end of the day, if you think about it. And it really... Their tech support is, quote, 24/7, but the only people who read tickets on the weekend are people with, like, beginner intermediate level experience, and so they will just be like, assign the ticket to the senior admin, and then the senior admin doesn't show up for another 3 days, and then he fixes it until it happens again. And so, in particular, a series of unfortunate events with the network card getting misconfigured, and then several DDoS attacks on the area of the data center I was in for the same one box. And the other two boxes at Verpis were relatively stable. I mean, none of the issues that... And, of course, the average guy is on the box that has the issues, right? So, and it kept happening, and it was really frustrating. And so I made the executive decision that I wasn't going to look bad because Verpis was making things bad. So... my project over the winter break has been to, in the one day I've been back, build a Linux cluster in the basement and essentially start moving everything off of Verpis into the basement, which gives me the power of dedicated hosting, multiple servers, and in reality, will allow me to serve websites like this as if we were paying $300 a month for dedicated hardware. So the era of VPS is over for me. But I've kind of, in my own way, made a very interesting hybrid fusion of dedicated and virtual that actually enhances the performance in some ways. So what I've decided to do is one of our server 2000, one of our really beefy 2012 R2 boxes, I've created two Hyper-V virtual images. One is a 6 GB MySQL master server, and one is a 4 GB Apache and web server, and they're both running CentOS 6.5 latest release, right? And so just to give you a comparison from what the normal resources I work with at Virpus, it's about 2 GB of RAM on the database server, 2 on the web server, and I have 2 web servers that both connect and hit that database. So it's really you're scrounging for every megabyte of memory you can get. And so in this scenario, by putting them on hypervisor, where the physical machine has 2 logical processors that are each quad cores. I mean, this is the box that we use for all of our high-powered transcoding. So, I mean, it can just process its way out of a solid steel box, right? And one of the really cool things about the hypervisor is that you can create VLAN networks right inside your virtual environment. So in the quote-unquote olden days, I had a ton of bandwidth getting metered between the MySQL server and the web server because it was considered measured bandwidth because they were going between each other and they weren't on the same, quote, local network. And so what I've done is essentially created this hypervisor virtual network where the MySQL server and the web server are in their own little virtual private world where they can send back and forth web and database requests in this virtual environment, and that gives me millisecond ping times of like 0.3 milliseconds to communicate between the two because they're in this virtual network that's being created by the hypervisor. So that gives me both the distributed power of, you know, separating out the MySQL and the web server and the resources for that, and also gives me almost an instantaneous network that the two can communicate between. So right now, and the other big thing is with MySQL, because of the memory constraints, I had to use what's called MyISOM tables, which is the older technology for what the table engine is that MySQL uses. And it does this thing called locking, where whenever a table is being modified or updated, it locks the table, does the transaction, and unlocks the table for the next, so that it can't be, you know, modified or broken by another one.
Yeah, you don't have two transactions colliding into each other at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in this new InnoDB engine that MySQL uses, the era of locking tables is gone. They have a much
that's
more...
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing, yes.
Yeah. And so that's about a 15% speed improvement on average. And, I mean, probably going to be a lot better in my case. So,
is it transactional-based, Christian? Is that what they apply those logs at the various times or the coordinated effort, or do you know what's
right? Yeah, it's a combination of synchronized transactions that it's still transactional based, but it's not the same, you know, like synchronize and lock the resource,
right.
Unlock
right.
It. Yeah. And so that'll save a lot on overhead. So what essentially we have going on right now is I have the Linux, I just finished building the Linux cluster today. It smokes. I put in a dedicated Ethernet card just for the hypervisor to run on, and I locked out the host management operating system from being able to touch it, so it gets really great performance, really great bandwidth. Already just working on it internally, it's like a bajillion times faster to manage than what it is to SSH out to Kansas City where I have the other servers. And so now I'm actually in the process of converting. I'm starting by importing ChristianNet into the Linux cluster, so I'm actually converting all those tables over from MyISOM to InnoDB, and then once that's done, I have the website working internally right now on my local network, and it's fabulous. It's fantastically quick. Now, again, obviously, it's because I'm right where the server's located, but there's a lot of other things going on making it faster. So what What I'm doing right now, after that gets done, which I'm hoping to have wrapped up in a few minutes here, the last step for me is to put a load balancer that sits in front of the web servers that when the traffic request comes in on port 80 to the internal network, the load balancer says which web server that website is residing on because I have them farmed out. And once that's done, I'm going to switch live the ChristianNet move and show that the performance is good and have, you know, Jim and a couple other people test it out and then start pulling sites down one at a time.
Yeah, so we'll move theaverageguy.tv over there as well. I got to admit, Christian, so in the midst of this, just because we're transparent on all the things we do, so in the midst of this, I'm like, yeah, Christian, maybe I just control, maybe I just control all this stuff myself. I hate, because one of the things, you know, just as a side note, anytime you do business with friends, you always put your friendship at risk, right? It's just, you do. It's one of those drawbacks to doing business with friends. One of the things, Christian, I've appreciated with you is you've always responded very, very well to that. You and I have podcasted together for a long time, and I didn't want this to be one of those kinds of things. I was willing to stop doing what I was doing because I'd rather podcast with you than have you host theaverageguy.tv. I mean, I appreciate that, and we pay you a little bit for that, but it's one of those kinds of things. So on Sunday, Mike and I were chatting, and I went out and got some Bluehost and started getting that set up. And actually, it was a really good experiment for me. I got the service set up. In a couple hours, I had some things running. I was messing around with some stuff. Their cPanel's not great. It's okay. Surprisingly, when I was on Network Solutions, which I would never recommend, but they have a really nice cPanel. If you're thinking about doing your own hosting, that's always something you got to think about, right? You're going to pay I think I paid $75 for 1 year of hosting, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage, some of those kinds of typical plans. And so Christian called me back on Monday. He's like, hey, I got a plan. we got to talk about this. And so last night he's like, here, go look at this. and so I'm like, yeah, let's give it a shot. So I'm pretty excited about it. So I called Bluehost yesterday and said, fortunately, they have a 30-day money-back guarantee, which was dynamite. They were super easy to get out of, by the way. I called, and they're like, oh, we'll get you to our billing department. And I talked to Bob in billing, you know. And Bob's
talked
like,
to real people.
I did. Yeah, it was real, real live, real nice people. He didn't try and upsell me. He didn't try and, like, are you sure? Well, you know, we're going to have a restocking fee, whatever, right? They're like, okay. When you get home, log in. I was on the phone in the car. When you get home, log in and click the box, and you're done. And it was refunded the next day.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you are looking for a host provider, and you're wanting to set up a site, and you don't want to, you know, you're going to need some storage space along with it. I've liked Bluehost. Christian, any other recommendations? Mike, you and I have talked about Bluehost, but Christian, if you were going to, besides your own thing, would you, and certainly not who you came from, but any recommendations on hosting providers? If anybody wanted to do it? Did I lose Christian?
He doesn't seem to be moving. Oh, he just dropped off.
His network just went down.
While we're waiting for him.
He owes his network.
I use both Bluehost and I use DreamHost. Here he is.
Yeah, he's coming back.
While waiting him. So I do like DreamHost. Their cPanel better than Bluehost. Bluehost is almost overwhelming with the cPanel, where DreamHost is much easier to use. But I think the speed over at DreamHost is Bluehost is better than the speed over at DreamHost.
Okay. Christian, any before you dropped out, any recommendations on host providers besides yourself?
If you're going to go with shared hosting, I mean, IX web hosting wasn't bad. I had problems once I started scaling up traffic. But if you're like doing starter websites, they're not bad, although they've changed a lot since I started with them. Bluehost has been very good. Dotster, I haven't worked with too much, but it's a name I seem to remember. GoDaddy is a good shared.
Oh, they just give me the shivers. I can't do GoDaddy.
They might give you the shivers, but for shared basic sites, you know.
I know, but to get through their sales process is just ridiculous. There's, you know, it's like, oh, do you want this? And do you want this? Oh, but you need this. And they are the upsell kings.
Yeah.
There at GoDaddy. So I really struggle. using them. But well, this reminds me, maybe we should do a hosting show at some point where everybody comes on and talks about their various host providers. Christian, you know, you've kind of done this on the side a little bit from a hosting standpoint. Not to put you on the spot, but in the future, are you thinking about maybe taking on customers to do something like this, or you still kind of want to just keep this kind of low-key between friends?
Yeah, I mean, right now I kind of like I don't like getting it to like a high unmanageable volume where it's a bunch of people going, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's like people who I know and they're like, no. But if it's people that like I relatively know or they're a reference and it's not one of those high maintenance things, I don't need another high maintenance thing in my life. So
yeah, I know for sure. For sure.
Lopsa says he should get his church off of GoDaddy. Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, that's why I felt bad, you know, because I would, about every third weekend, about the time we'd have the network problem, I'm like, hey, Christian, it's down. You know, I send you a note, I am. We're having some. And then last week we talked about this uptime robot, which has been pretty cool. You know, I installed that last week and have been running it, and sure enough, it told me, you know, last week that this weekend for an hour and 55 minutes our server went down.
Yeah, unfortunately we got a real live test.
It works. It sent me an email. Again, if you go back and listen to show 147, we talked about Uptime Robot. If you go to uptimerobot.com, you can point that at your web servers, and if you want to keep track of when they're up and when they're down, when it does go down, they send you an email that says, hey, your service is down. And I got several of those saying it was down, and then it sent me emails when they were right back up again. And unfortunately for Christian, every time I got one of those, I was like, It's slow again. It always seems like the weekends I want to do the most work on it is when we've had those network problems.
But you know, no host is going to be up 100% of the time. But
right.
especially with the bigger hosts, you should expect, and they should be providing the 3.9s. You know, up 99.9% of the time. Which even that is, you know, how many hours a year is that they would be down, even if they hit that?
Yeah, it's a matter of hours in some cases, right?
Yeah.
When you get into the digits past the point, you start getting into hours and minutes at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's showing right now. So the cool thing on this uptime robot is, so because I have some actual downtime in it, here I can show that. Let me do this real quick. Let me pop that panel in here. One moment, please stand by. All right, so on the other screen, I'll push that up to you guys watching out there in the live stream. So what you're seeing is the dashboard from that server, and this is the one, the old one that we're on right now. But so you can see right now, since I started it a week ago, I have because we started it during the show last week, 98.38% uptime on that server, and you see the two downtime instances, right? We had one early in the weekend for about 4 minutes.
Yeah, and then an hour and 55 minutes.
And then the big one on Sunday for an hour 55. And and that's when all hell was breaking loose, and I think Christian wanted to kill them at that point, during the day.
Do you mind sharing real quick? Is this just a website you go and sign up? What is this?
Yeah, so uptimerobot.com. And, you can create a free account. And then you see it says up there on the left-hand side, it says plus monitor, and you just put in your website, and it will store it for you. And then every 5 minutes, that's the minimum. And you can do it 30 minutes, an hour, you know, 3 hours, 5 hours, whatever. But every 30 minutes, it'll ping the site based on FTP, HTTP. There's a couple other protocols. I'll just click on monitor. Let's open that up here. And so, let's see if you can see that. Sometimes you can't. Yeah, there you go. So HTTP or HTTPS, keywords, ping or port, right? Those are the various, and you can put that information in. In this case, I just put a URL in there, used HTTP, and put the average guy. And then it creates this monitor for you, and you can log in and watch it. I do have to refresh the page. It does not automatically refresh for me, but when I come to it, and it's every 5 minutes, so does it really need to? You know, and you get 50 monitors for free, so you can monitor up to 50 sites if that's what you want to do, or 50 things to monitor for uptime. And you know, in this case, the server's been up 100% of the time for the last 24 hours, and 98.81 in the last 7 days, and 98.82 in the last 30. So it gives you some really cool stats. Christian, I think you came up with this, right, last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You found this. Christian found it. So
I just created an account.
Yeah, give that a time. Uptime Robot, we talked about it a little bit last week. TheAverageGuy.tv/HT147. Pretty cool tool. It was, and ironically, it came in handy this weekend for us. So,
Lopto saying didn't hear about this last week on the podcast. No.
Well, Mike didn't maybe listen. You were doing a lot of photography stuff last week, right? It seemed like you had a lot of pictures to process.
So I generally watch the show or listen to the show and have it playing on another monitor as I work on other things.
That's right.
And sometimes those other things get me distracted and I don't pay attention to completely.
You know, hey, we can't listen to every single second of everything. So
get over it. Get over it, Lopta.
All right, Christian, anything else on your experiment going on there? I'm pretty excited about so when do you think we'll you know, I know you want me to test it and stuff, but when do you think we'll have the averageguy.tv up and running and people can look at it?
I mean, if Christian Network's good tomorrow, then I mean, we can do it this weekend. So
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, watch for a little bit of downtime this weekend as we get things moved over. And there should, if you head out to the site and it's not working the way you expect it to, you can you just know we're switching stuff over. So, all right.
Well, guys, with DNS, there should be no downtime. If
yeah.
I do it right.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll see.
Wow.
Just joking. Come on. No. Okay. Any Christian? Anything else?
No, that's it.
No, you're good. Mike, anything from your side?
No. Well, I'll say this. December is our photo contest. We usually do a photo challenge. December is photo contest. You submit your best photo that you took in 2013, any topic, into our Facebook group, and you could win a $100 Amazon gift card if you get first place, $50 if you get second, and $25 if you get third.
Cool.
We do this every December.
Yeah, most real live money. They give away good money over there at JPEG to RAW.
Usually it's $25 a month, and it's a photo challenge with a theme, and you have to take it that month. But for December, we do something special.
Very cool. Great. Like I said in the beginning of the show, great community over there. If you're new to theaverageguy.tv and you didn't know, Mike is part of our network of podcasts as well, and he's at JPEG, JPEG2, the number 2, and RAW, RAW.com and a great community over there. And all the links to all his other stuff is over there at JPEG to RAW, including the live podcast Tuesday nights, 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern. I will remind you that I'm also doing a Saturday morning podcasting podcast. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast or you have a podcast that you want to improve or you just got some questions around podcasting, I have the opportunity to join Dave Jackson over at the Ask the Podcast Coach on Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 a.m. This is a.m., not evening, but a.m., Saturday morning tech radio with Ask the Podcast Coach. And you can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And we have fun doing that. If you follow Dave on Mixlr or on Spreaker, those things will automatically remind you. Watch my Twitter, at Jay Collison. I am going to drop the averageguy.tv Twitter account. It just has not been very successful. We haven't gained very many followers. And it's just it's another thing to check. So I'll be dropping that one over here over the next couple weeks. So if you follow me there, I'll be pumping everything through Jay Collison on Twitter. But I tweet before we go live on the show, so I'll follow that as well, schoolofpodcasting.com/live. We are having a banner month for the Average Guy Scholarship Fund, and again, I want to thank you guys for all the purchases you make. If you go out to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, that will get you automatically set up. It doesn't cost you any more. Most of you guys know that. You're a great audience. And you guys do a great job of purchasing stuff through that link, and so I want to say thanks for doing that. Just crossed over the $200 barrier for the month, and we're only, you know, we're just 19 days into the month, so we may have another record. I've got one guy set up for a scholarship amount. I might scoon over. You're in line, so I need to know if I'm gonna get something for you. Let me know what we've got. A Nest smoke detector out with Gordon Schmidt. And if you are interested in me buying you something for you to check out, right now we'd be looking at the January time frame, so it gives you a little time to think about something. About $100 is kind of what we try to keep it under. The more you buy through Amazon, the more scholarship stuff I can buy for you guys to test. And you just need to write about it and come on the show. Christopher Brown owes me a show to come in and talk about the Power Rocks. We reviewed one of those little mini battery units. If you go out to theaverageguy.tv and look for that, it's about the third post down right now. But you can take a peek at that and or just search Power Rocks. Our search engine actually works really good on the site. And so if you just type in Power Rocks, you can get to that review. So, Christopher, thanks for taking a... That was in a case where they came to me, and from time to time I'll have vendors come to me and say, hey, would you review this for us? And if you want to do that, you'll want to be in the Facebook group. All those links are over at theaverageguy.tv, and I'll put out a post that says, hey, anybody want to review this? Super simple. Just write up a post. Drop it on theaverageguy.tv, not too terribly difficult. It is December. Oh, Mike?
I have a thought on that. I'll talk about it after the end of the show.
Okay.
In the post show.
Stay for the post show if you want to hear that. Then we're starting to line up some guests for 2014, and I'm pretty excited about that as well. Like I said, we are taking Christmas off, so there is no... I might do a hangout Christmas, like on the 26th during this slot. That's just open. So we might just get together on that Thursday night and just do a hangout, but no recorded show. We're going to take Christmas off. I got enough to do that week. So
rumor has it the guests are Mary Jo Foley and Callie Lewis.
The after Christmas show?
No, in 2014.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, that'd be nice, but no.
You've met both of them, I think.
I have. No, I've only met Callie.
Oh, okay.
It'd be great to get her on the show. I should just ask her.
You should just ask her.
I'm going to just ask her. I've set up an interview with Robert Scoble that I'm going to do through Gallup, which is pretty cool. That's coming up in mid-January, so you definitely want to watch my Twitter account for that. I'll be letting you know. It'll be a kind of a combined average guy, Gallup called the coach, and we will get the Scobalizer on there to talk about tech and about how he uses his talents and strengths and the things that he does. And so if you're interested in that at all, just kind of watch the Twitter account. It's coming up in January.
All right. Here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
While he's talking into the Gallup mic, I want to see out of the camera a little mic come up that's got the Average Guy logo on it.
Just sneak that in. Huh?
Just sneak that in there and let him be talking into that too.
My worlds have collided. The podcasting that I've done here on The Average Guy over the last 3 or 4 years, and by the way, let me just say I appreciate you, the listener out there. You guys have been super faithful to listen to what we do here on the network every single week in a lot of cases, and we've got some really good numbers, and we're growing, actually, at this point. We're seeing some really good numbers. So thanks for listening. I do appreciate that. You don't know what it's like to know when you guys have been sending me more emails each week. I'm getting a couple a week now. And you're always very appreciative of the show, and we have a good time doing it, and I'm appreciative of the hosts, all the guys who jump in here, of course, Christian, who gives us his time every single week, as well as Andrew Morris, who we're getting less of these days. He's just been really busy, but all the hosts. So I appreciate you guys and the listener for kind of just putting up with us every week. It's kind of amazing, though, but I appreciate what you do. So thanks for listening. But we do have some stuff come up in January. So we talked about, we got that Nest thermostat kind of review, or not thermostat, but the Nest smoke detector, and they are getting sued. So we're going to talk about that during that show. That's coming up January 2nd, 2014. I've got Kevin Schoonover, Gordon Schmidt coming on. Michael Crump is coming back. If you remember Michael, he's kind of a Windows Phone and Android developer enthusiast. So he comes, super nice guy from the South. And so Michael Crump is coming back. Carrie Adams, actually, who did Spartan Radio with me, is going to come on. She's now working for the Power Rocks, so we're going to talk about those batteries and some other things. While she's coming on, I guess I got Bill Pullman coming back. So Bill hasn't been on in a long time, and I begged him, Bill, please come back, Bill. We want to see you. And so he's coming on the 6th of February, and then we have Amber Gott from LastPass coming on February 13th. She'll give us the first 30 minutes of the show to talk about what's new at LastPass, and that's February is a good time. You're doing your taxes. It's a good time to think about your password security and some of those things that you need to do. And many of us, in fact, there was a post today on the Facebook page about someone was asking, and if I'm out there right now, John Davis asked the question. John, I hope you listened to the show, not just joined the Facebook page, but John had asked that question, can anyone recommend a safe password or app program? He's used Safe Wallet. on the PC in the past, but now they all seem you want to make you log in and keep stuff local. And you can read that post out there on our Facebook group. But we like LastPass, so I sent Amber a note and said, hey, come back on the show. Let's talk about
it. I just use Notebook.
Yeah. That's a pretty sophisticated app.
No, I use LastPass, too, and I like it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some good stuff.
And if you're not a member of your Facebook group, you know, that's you got a growing community out there, a lot of people who are willing to help. I know one lady went in there and asked some questions, and it was very quick. I don't know how fast it was going on, but I went to look because I saw the post. I said, oh, let me go put my comments out there. And by the time I got there, she had like 20 responses and some very thoughtful stuff. So if you're not a member of the group already, I would go out there and become a member of the group.
Yeah, and we're the de facto tech guys for JPEG to RAW photographers. Yeah,
absolutely.
So if you it's fine to come over from JPEG to RAW if you want to ask your tech questions. We got a whole bunch of guys that like to answer it for you.
Every modern day photographer uses a computer, so eventually we need tech help.
Yeah, no, right on. Join us. About 885 out there in our group right now. We'd like to add a few more to you. You know, I get about 1,000 downloads every single week to the show. I think we can do a little better than 185. So I know some of you don't like Facebook, and I get that. If you don't like it, don't come out. But
you can do the same thing like we did. Some people don't like Facebook. You have a G+ community also.
I do.
They can go and join your G+ community. If you don't like Facebook.
Not very active. In fact, I could use some help if you want to get active out there. If you're in Google+ and you want to do that, we could get more active out there on Google+. You could join the conversation. I do have a group. The network is just called the Average Guy Network. I think that's out there. I'm the only one posting in it, and I just post the show when we go out there. That's the only. But I keep thinking someday it'll pick up. That community will pick up. So
I think if you're on Facebook a lot, join that group. If you don't like Facebook, then G+ is another great place. And then you know it's one of those things you post and they will come. So you know go out there and join the G+ group, and you may be alone for a little bit, but that'll grow out over time.
Yeah, and I have a Drobo group too. So if you join me with a Drobo at some point, I started a G+ Drobo group. Drobo locks down their
I don't like that at all.
No, and so I opened an open one on G+. So if you got a Drobo and you want to join me out there, we have a very limited conversation at this point, but it's still if you want to join me out there.
To me, any vendor who locks their forums to only people who purchase their product is hiding something.
I think so. Well, they're a little – a change in management took place. So we'll see how that goes from there. All right, one more thing, and then we'll go into the post show. So in the beginning of the show, Mike alluded to this earlier. In the very beginning of the show, if you've made it all the way to this point, by the way, congratulations. But in the beginning of the show, I played some music as the intro music, and you might not have recognized it. And you're like, whoa, what? Where's the – you know, I've played the same riff that was recorded by Mystic Geek, right? Brian Burgess recorded that for me way back in the day when we started doing this podcast. And I've used it faithfully for 140 some shows.
It's great.
Well, yeah, I love it. It's a great little riff. And that's how I know Home Tech is on, right? Yeah. I'm never going to get rid of that. That will always, even when we go to Home Gadget Geeks, that will open the show. That's going to be consistent. So, but my son is a drummer in a band called Adelaide. And actually, the three guys from Adelaide got together a couple months ago and recorded some Christmas music. And I really, really, really liked it. And so I thought, hey, let's throw this in the beginning of the show. So what you heard in the beginning of the show is just a little snippet of it. And now here, as we move out of the show, I'm going to play the whole song for you. And I got permission, and it's totally legal. And by the way, if you want to download it, just head out to mynamesrudolph.com. And you can go out there. And they have all three for free. Adam asks for a little donation if you want to put it in there as well. I paid the $3 to download this music. You know, it's $3. Come on. You know, don't be a cheapskate. And some really fun kind of modern Christmas music, and that's what will be on the end of the show here in a few minutes as we go forward. So Adam and Alex and Phil, thanks for recording that for us, and hope you enjoy the music that's coming up, and hope you get a good chance. If you're interested, like I said, you can download it for free, and there's more out there from that band, although they don't have a lot, but it just you can shoot them a short note. If you like it, send me a note, jim@theaverageguy.tv. I'll forward it on to them. They're kids, right? I mean, they're doing this for fun. So if you do that.
And the comment I was going to have is, you know, JPEG to RAW, we've had the same. I bought something called Rock Instruments for TV Productions, Podcasts, Movies, and Jingles. Royalty-free music.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always used is our intro and exit. A part of it is the intro, a part of it is the exit. And now YouTube has started tagging all those as copyrighted material because somebody is claiming it's their product when it's royalty-free music. So for our show, for what we put on YouTube, it will not have that music. Everywhere else will have the music. So you watch, I can start playing it now, and within about 30 seconds, they will kill this broadcast give you a two-week ban. They will ban you for about 2 weeks, so watch.
Hold on, let me bring the mute up. Yeah, YouTube's getting sticky with that, so it's...
And that's, I learned the hard way. During a live show, I was playing some music, and they killed the broadcast and banned me for 2 weeks.
I often wonder, you know, I thought maybe with... And this is why we're not playing it live. I'm adding it onto the recorded version on the end. So you guys won't hear that tonight. You'll have to go out and watch the live version. And honestly, I didn't put it in... Last week, I didn't put it in the YouTube version. So you can't get it on YouTube. You got to go out to theaverageguy.tv and get the audio-only version of it. But I was afraid YouTube would ban me for having that music on there. So they get real sticky about that. Let's wrap this up and go into the post show. We're about out of time. So if I'll remind you one more time, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast. And most of you know this already. I've really condensed this section as the way I used to say it. But all the links that are available, like iTunes or Xbox Music, are all available for you out at theaverageguy.tv. Our RSS feed is there as well. Stitcher, which is really making a run for it, is something you might want to check out. If you haven't done that, Stitcher just added a new feature now where you can download the podcast as well. It used to be streaming only, and now you can download it inside the Android or iPhone app. And so it's like a podcatcher. So I'm going to have to check that out. I haven't really messed with it very much. But this show and all our shows that we do here, Rich's Random Podcast, Financial Tech, are available out there as well. And, of course, we record each Thursday night live, 8 p.m. Central, and we broadcast it out through theaverageguy.tv live. Jump into the conversation on our Facebook group, and we want to thank you for coming out tonight. If you're watching live, stay around for the post show. If you're listening to the recorded version, enjoy the music. Listen to it all the way through, and we'll see you back here, not next week, but in 2 weeks, and we'll have some Nest reviews to go forward. Mike and Christian, thanks a ton for coming out and podcasting with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to see you again, Christian.
He's muted. That's all right. We'll do it all again next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.
2 weeks.
I wasn't muted. Wow, that was terrible. I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good. You were muted, but that's all right. You didn't think you were.
Found me alone, heart covered in snow. Gave me something I could show for this life I've been living. Needed something I could hold to. Had to hide from everyone but you. Flying isn't nothing new, but this time it was different. They can use what they know and what they can abuse. Like I must be some kind of fool for this life I've been given. I waited till that storm came, big enough to bring a chance to change. Shining isn't nothing strange, but this night it was brilliant. They forgot. When I came back around, it was me they found. When I came back around,